Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the 85th floor observation deck here at Car Talk Plaza. We keep looking west to see if spring is arriving. I guess it's officially spring, but you'd be hard-pressed to really notice that it was spring.
Not here in the great, as you say, the great frozen north. Did you ever have something stuck in your tooth?
Yeah, what do you have? A piece of spinach, it looks like.
How does it get in there?
Grass or something.
Why is it so hard to cut out once it gets in there? Get any toothpicks?
No, well, not on me, no. Here, want my Bowie knife?
This has to be the greatest.
Did you know that Jim Bowie was at the Alamo?
I heard he moved.
I'm sorry. You have letters to read.
You know, if you wrote the Jim Bowie care of Alamo, it would come back saying Jim Bowie doesn't live here anymore.
Right, addressee unknown. Address unknown.
There are two great ads for cars. I don't know where they came from, except from, I know they're from Montgomery, Alabama, and who knows what newspaper. One is for Porsche 928, Alpine White, Pacific Blue, blue leather. Originally purchased to pick up more girls, owner worn out, car still rare in a girl, $30,000. That's good. This one's even better. Mercedes, we might get sued for this, but I'm just reading, right? What do I know?
Right.
Mercedes 560 SEL 1991. Beautiful black on black, but unsafe, unpredictable, and undependable. No money down. Desperate and frightened lessee will reimburse new owner every other payment for 1 year. Contact Atlanta Classic Cars for horrendous service history. No need to hurry. It won't go quickly. I wonder if he got any responses.
Give me that number.
That.
I'll call him in the morning.
What is the number?
62. I'll tell you what the number is. 888 Car Talk. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sarah from Los Angeles.
Hi, is there
Sarah.
An H at the end?
Yes, there is an H at the end.
Excellent.
Of Sarah.
Yeah.
The only proper way to spell it.
I believe you're right.
What's up, Sarah?
Well, I have a Saab 900. And as I'm sure you guys are aware, Saabs have the ignition down in between the seats rather than up by the steering wheel.
And you spilled a cup of coffee down there.
Well, it's not so much that, but they also don't have cup holders, so I generally keep a bottle of water down there. And
that was close.
Consistently, yes, I spill water down on my ignition. Not a lot. I mean, not a cup by any means, but maybe a few drops every few days. And I was wondering if I was ruining my ignition by doing this. But there's also a second part to the story, which is even stranger, which is down there by the ignition is also the switch that controls the dome light
in
the car.
Right.
Okay. My dome light works normally when I open and shut my door the way it's supposed to. You know, when I open the door, the light goes on.
Yeah. Right.
But I can't control it manually with that switch unless I pour water on it. So I'm wondering if I should worry about the fact that I pour water on my dome light switch in order to get it to work.
You make me realize, Sarah, that it would be impossible for us to make up these questions. If we had shills who called us, I mean, we could never come up with questions like this.
Not in our wildest dreams.
But it's true.
Oh, I believe every word of it, and I'm sure it is 100% true. What a dilemma, huh?
Yeah.
That little dome light also serves as a map light. I mean, it's right
exactly.
Under the...
Exactly.
And how essential... I mean, are you constantly turning that on while you're driving?
No, but probably like once a month I'm thinking I need to, you know, read something in the car. I have a friend who's trying to read a map. I pour a little water down there on the switch, and it goes on.
It's good.
You need to mend your ways.
Okay.
You
how
can't,
do I mend my ways?
You can't go pouring water down there because, fortunately for you, the ignition switch is a little better built than that 29-cent dome light switch.
Okay.
And the water hasn't gotten to it yet, but it assuredly will.
Okay.
And I suggest a treatment of WD-40. You know what WD-40 is?
Yeah, sure.
In fact, I think the WD stands for water displacer.
Yeah.
And
really?
It does, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so. I made that up, but it sounded good.
Sounds great.
And what you do is you buy the can with the little plastic nozzle, and you're going to squirt it right in where your key goes. You're going to just jam that thing in, that little nozzle in there,
right,
and spray the thing in, and that will drive out any water that's in there.
Okay.
And then stick the key in and start the thing 3 or 4 times and vow never to put water on that switch again. Then you can go to the Saab dealer, and for $10 you can buy a new switch for the dome light, which comes out in 2 seconds. It pops out with a screwdriver. And
okay,
you've certainly ruined that switch. And the only way you get it to work now is by completing the circuit, pouring water on it.
Right. Okay.
You'll be happy to know.
No, it's just a question of a new switch. It's not like my entire electrical
system. No,
it will be if you keep this up.
Okay. Then you need to buy a cup holder.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, I have this big water bottle, and it just doesn't fit anywhere else.
Well,
you get so dehydrated here in L.A. It's so dry.
Why do Americans drink so much beverage? I mean, and why do we feel compelled? Why do we have to drink in our cars?
Because if I didn't drink water in my car, I'd never drink it. I force myself to drink
it that way. You have to drink your 16 glasses of water a day.
Exactly.
Well, you should keep
the part that I'm pouring down.
Well, the bottle should be between your knees. Right?
I could try that. Okay.
Try that.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't know. I would use a bottle with a cap that you can tighten up, right?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes some still spills out. Like I said, it's not cups and cups we're talking about here.
Are you a slob? Is your car a disaster?
You know what to do?
Tell the truth.
No, not at all. My car is pristine.
No. You know what to do? Go to a bicycle shop.
Okay.
And you will find a little cap that they sell that goes on a bottle of water.
Uh-huh.
That pops up.
You pull it up and you drink out of it and you push it down and it closes. So you don't have to screw and unscrew.
All right.
And actually, all you need is the little top. And it fits on all those soda bottles and water bottles because they all use the same screw thread. And you can actually get good exercise for your jaw. You can pull that thing open by yanking on the bottle while holding it in your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And then close it by banging it against your chin.
Or your forehead.
Yeah. And you'll have a cute little dimple on your chin. See you, Sarah.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Paris from Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Paris?
Yeah.
Paris.
I've been on before. I don't know if you remember me.
Well, the name is familiar. Where are you from? Newburyport.
Yeah, from Newburyport, yeah.
No, I don't remember you.
I do remember.
I was on like 2 years ago from Mississippi, actually, so.
Well, what did we talk about when you were on before?
Oh, God, I had a question that was one part automotive, one part religious. I had a car that I was trying to get from my sister's church, and they wouldn't give it to me.
I remember.
Because I wasn't a Christian?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
You're a Buddhist.
That's right. That's right. You remember?
Of course I
You guys
remember.
Shamed them into selling me that car after they heard the broadcast.
They did?
Yeah, I wanted to thank you for that.
Hey, don't mention it, man. So what are you calling again for?
Well, man, you gave me such good advice last time. I had to call again. I've got a car. It's an 87 Toyota pickup truck, and it's in New Orleans. My fiancée Barbara is driving it.
Yeah.
It's got 230,000 miles on it. It's got a chronic overheating problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, give us the conditions under which it overheats.
Oh, it overheats year-round.
All the time.
Yeah, full-time without a thermostat. And we got to keep the heat on. And in New Orleans in the summertime, it's even worse. And stop-and-go city traffic, even with the heat on, sometimes you got to pull over. And I did a lot of work to it. I had the radiator rotted out, replaced the hoses, thermostat, water pump, fan clutch. But it's still overheating. We're still running it with no thermostat.
Well, first of all, how come you move around so much?
How come I move around so much?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a couple of years ago, you called us from where?
I called you from Jackson, Mississippi.
From Jackson, Mississippi. Then you must have moved to New Orleans to meet Barbara.
Yeah.
Now you're back in Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's back where I belong, you know?
Yeah, okay.
But you left Barbara and the truck in New Orleans.
Right.
Well, is she planning to come up here to Newburyport?
If I can ever get her pickup truck fixed, I think she's going to come up here.
She is not going to make it here with that pickup truck.
Not the way it's running, yeah.
Not ever.
No.
No, she's never, never. Give up.
Really? It's time to give up?
No, I never give up.
Well, unless you're ready to, do a transplant.
We love this thing, though, you know?
It's obviously lived its whole life down in New Orleans. It's not rusted. It's not a junker.
Right, exactly.
Well, if you've replaced all the things that you've replaced, it's only one of two things.
Hmm.
Either the radiator, which you say you had rotted out, is not really good enough.
Really?
But I don't think that's true.
Uh-huh.
Or the engine itself, the cooling passages inside the engine are so disgusting. Disgustingly messed.
Well, they would have noticed that when they took the head off.
And they probably did.
You think so?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do.
Go ahead.
Tell us about Barbara. I mean, why bother to solve this problem?
Yeah, how serious?
Actually, I've got some problems with her you might be able to help me with.
I mean, is she really worth it? Because this is not going to be easy.
Yeah, I think I may have to break down and get her a new vehicle because she's worth it. But
All right. But I was going to suggest, if you want to go at it scientifically, mm-hmm. that you take the radiator out and have somebody flow test it.
Oh.
Preferably not the guys that rotted it out.
Right.
Another radiator shop.
Uh-huh.
You may find out that, in fact, it's not really clear.
Yeah,
however,
I mean, that would be really, really nice to find out.
If the radiator were plugged up, the problem would be much worse driving at high speed. Is that true?
Actually, when we're on the highway, we don't have to use the heat as much.
So it's the opposite.
Yeah, better.
It's in the city with the stop and go where you really need it, you know?
Okay, then.
Sounds like the engine, huh?
Yeah.
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 That was the
right. Well, I think you ought to throw an engine in it.
Really?
Why not?
Yeah. What'd that run? About $1,000?
I mean, if everything...
Well, if you just want to throw it in there, yeah. You want to hook it up and have it actually move the wheels?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, if the thing is really as nice as you say,
yeah.
No rust, everything works,
yeah.
Then it would certainly be worth spending...
The $3,000 it's going to cost you.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Well, I sure do appreciate you guys' help.
Here's what you do. Send us a picture of the truck.
Okay.
And Barbara. We'll send you our written response within a week.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck,
Paris. Welcome back to Massachusetts, pal.
Glad to be back.
See you later.
See you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I wonder what he does for a living. He's a salesman.
I don't know, but I bet you it borders on being illegal. I don't know why.
You just had that feeling, didn't you?
I had that feeling. But he sounds like a nice guy.
Very nice.
But he's selling something.
He's a telemarketer, isn't he?
Yeah. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm from New Orleans.
Hi, Juliet.
Hi. I have a Chevy Prism. It's back when it was still a Geo.
Gee, what's that, like a 90?
It's a 93.
93, Prism.
And it has a Toyota engine.
Yes,
sure.
It has 233,400 miles on it.
Wow.
That's good.
It runs like a dream right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am a student with two jobs, so I'm not always able to keep it up as well as I'd like. I know the people that own this car a long time. They're very good people, and they're very honest. But they did tell me they've never replaced the timing belt or the clutch on this car. Most of those miles are highway miles.
So who put the lion's share of the miles on it?
He did.
How long have you had the car?
About a year.
2 weeks.
I put about 20,000 of those miles on
there. Oh.
You've driven for 20,000 miles, and obviously you have never replaced a timing belt.
No.
And this other guy drove it for 213,000 miles?
Yeah.
And he claims he never did it either?
Right. Or the clutch.
Well, the clutch is understandable, because if it's really mostly highway miles...
Mm-hmm.
The clutch ain't doing nothing during highway miles. It's
right.
Just laying there doing nothing, spinning around happy like my brother.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But the timing belt.
Uh-huh.
This could be a museum piece.
You may be down to one strand on the belt. And you know, even with cars with a third the mileage you have, timing belts break.
Yeah.
So at this point, I don't see any good reason to change it.
That's really. That's
because
my point. I'm wondering if I should just push it for the next year.
You clearly
you're
have.
Go for the record. I mean, if you're this close, you've got to, I don't know what the record is.
Uh-huh.
But there's got to be a record for how long a timing belt has lasted. And I think you're real close.
It'd be interesting to know. Yeah.
Yeah. And the prize would be for the record?
Immortality.
Immortality and a chance to ride in a tow truck.
Right.
Yeah, you'll be in the Guinness Book of Records.
Well,
yeah.
Seriously, though, should I be very worried about it? I don't even know what happens when your timing belt breaks.
Well, the engine stops running, for one thing.
Okay, and that's all that happens to this thing. This is not an engine record.
That's not all that happens. The engine stops running. Under some scenarios, the semi then drives right over you. Because you were in the process of taking a left turn across a highway.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, that could... A lot of things...
Or the engine stops running and the train is coming and you're sitting on the railroad tracks.
Well, I had someone tell me the engine would drop right out of the car. It would be toast. And so that scared me a little bit.
What kind of driving do you do, Juliet?
Well, I actually live in a suburb of New Orleans, which causes me to cross a 30-mile causeway every day.
Oh,
that's one way. Oh. So I go back and forth.
That would be.
What do they do? What do they do? Just push you into the water?
Yeah.
They push you and your car in
the
water.
It's a straight shot, so theoretically, if I arrange it correctly, I could just have someone push me all the rest of the way. They wouldn't even notice.
Yeah. Well, you know. If you're strapped, I mean, it's inevitable that the belt is going to break any day. I mean, you're talking about days and not months.
Really?
Maybe minutes.
But here's the problem. When you take it into the shop to have the belt replaced, they are going to find 500 other things that the car needs.
Yeah, well, I have a great mechanic that I know. I've known him since I was 6 years old. My dad went to him.
Oh, great.
So, I'll take it to him.
Have they ever seen this car?
Yeah.
And they didn't twist your arm about the timing belt?
No, they didn't. They know me. They know my situation, and they just said, well, it would be optimal, but, you know, we understand. They'll probably even work out a payment plan for it.
Great.
Yeah, I think you should go for it.
Okay. I was just worried, which should I pick, the clutch or the timing belt?
Oh, forget the clutch.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, when the clutch goes, you'll know that, because you'll get hit by the train then, too.
Right. Okay, well, as long as it's clear.
Yeah, you can wear your sneakers when you drive, so you can get out and run.
Okay.
See you, Juliet.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, it's time for us to take a short break, but when we come back, I'm going to have the answer to the question that you've been thinking about all week.
My question?
Yeah.
How did you know what I was thinking about?
I knew.
I was thinking, do these capri pants make my butt look big? You're going to have the answer to that?
No, I know. I was referring to last week's puzzler, which had to do with how much things weigh in the moon.
Oh, yeah, the moon.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that thing you howl at occasionally?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have the details in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Three grumpy girls and a dying daddy, but oh so gorgeous the way they crave. How beautiful to take a bite out of the world. I want to rip the world a new one. It just crawls out of my mouth anymore. You can hate on it, or you can hug it. You can get all mushy and lovey-dovey. It's all the same when I'm out there driving around, all from zone to loading zone of my beautiful town. I park for free. One-stop shop life for the quick fix before you get a ticket. That's the way I live my life.
And even though hog farmers turn to each other and say, imagine working around that all day, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
What does what you eat or don't eat say about who you are and where you fit in?
It's the memories and the feelings of nostalgia that is what connects you to your family. It's not chicken or beef or pork.
This is Gene Demby of NPR's Code Switch. This week on the menu, food and family.
Hey, before we get back to this classic car talk episode, keep in mind that your favorite public radio station is still working every day to bring you up-to-date news and great new programs. And believe it or not, your old car can help them do it. That's right. That old heap that's keeping your dipstick low and your bank balance lower can be picked up, whisked to your station, and turned into something truly useful. Obviously not Car Talk. Find out how easy it is at cartalk.com/vehicle donation. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Go ahead.
All of us remember from our high school or junior high school physics that the moon has a fraction of the Earth's gravity. In fact, I think we were all told that it's about a sixth.
I remember.
Roughly. And when those NASA guys faked the landing on the moon in 1969, they were very careful to show the astronauts bounding from one spot to another like they were kangaroos. Remember?
Yeah.
A simple jump would take you like many, many feet on the moon, where it would only take you a few feet here on Earth.
Right, because you fall back to Earth quicker.
Exactly.
More gravity.
Now, if, for example, you had a bathroom scale and you put your 600-pound mother-in-law on it.
No, it was a Bengal tiger last week. I remember.
Either one, 600-pound Bengal tiger or mother-in-law on it, and then transported her and the bathroom scale to the moon, she would weigh 100 pounds, roughly, on the moon, or one-sixth of
She would case. Still be just as ugly as she was here.
See, but I was giving you an opportunity. And, of course, what she weighed wouldn't be any concern of yours because she'd be where?
On the moon. That's good.
Now, the question very simply was, is there anything you can think of that, if measured in the same way, you know, on the scale,
yeah,
would weigh more on the moon than it does on the Earth?
Yeah.
Now, there may be more than one answer.
I had an answer for this right away.
But I was thinking of something relatively commonplace.
Yeah.
Something that each one of us has probably held in our hand at one time or another.
That would weigh less on the moon. I mean, more on the moon than on Earth.
Yeah. What was your answer?
My answer was...
And it wasn't your mother-in-law.
My answer was a helium balloon.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the answer. All right. And any balloon with lighter than air gas in it, helium, hydrogen, you know, because on the Earth, it wouldn't weigh anything on the scale.
You know what?
In fact, if you were standing on a scale and holding a big enough helium balloon...
It could make you weigh less.
It could make you weigh nothing.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you tried to put it on the scale, it wouldn't register because it would float away. But on the moon... Because there's no atmosphere, in addition to being no gravity or not much gravity, there's no atmosphere and there's nothing for the balloon to float on, and therefore it'll sit, if it doesn't explode, it'll sit on the scale and it'll actually weigh something, where on the Earth it doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah.
So, do we have a winner?
The winner is Roshan Shrestha from Kathmandu, Nepal.
No kidding.
Get out! Roshan, we don't know if it's a male or a female. Well, Roshan, for having your emailed answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, you're going to get a $26 gift certificate to our Shameless Commerce division. And with that $26, you can pick up a copy of our music CD called Car Talk Cartoons Volume 1, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs, which we understand is now number one on Sherpa Bandstand.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, but don't touch that dial because if you do, you're not going to be able to call and ask a question. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kim. I'm calling from Malden.
Malden Mass? What?
Malden, Mass. Right up the road.
All right.
Is Malden the city that God forgot?
I hope not, because we're living here after all.
Malden is one of those places that, I mean, I don't even know if I've ever been in Malden. And how would you even know if you were there? I mean, it's one of those sort of mysterious
places. Well, if you'd invite us for coffee, we'll come to Malden.
I'd be happy to have you for coffee.
It would be great.
So what's going on, Kim?
Well, I've got a 91 CRX, a Honda CRX with 115,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, we've been having this for about a month. Whenever it rains or we have any precipitation at all, the car will not start. And as the car gradually gets drier, as the weather gets drier around it, the car will start more and more readily.
Yeah.
So it's like a very expensive barometer for us.
That's good.
And
hey, you got a little baby there.
Yeah, I got a little baby on my lap.
Real little?
Yeah, he's 3 months.
Cool.
So we're wondering what the problem is, and my husband, Bill, thinks it's the distributor cap, and we decided we would call and ask you guys.
Well, you'd certainly get my vote.
That's what you think it is? Okay, well,
yeah.
That's easy.
That's a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's more likely in this car that it's the wires.
Yeah.
Well, he said that he looked under the hood, which he does very rarely, and thought that all the wires were going into the distributor cap.
Well, they are. But what's happening is the other end of the wire, the end that isn't attached to the distributor cap, is attached to a spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
And that spark plug wire goes into a long tube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you really can't see about 3 inches of the spark plug wire.
Okay.
And it's possible that when there's a lot of moisture in the air, that the spark is never getting to the spark plug.
Okay.
So I think I would change the distributor cap, the ignition rotor.
The distributor cap, the ignition rotor.
And the spark plug wires.
Can we put this stuff on ourselves, or do we need to have the...
You can do it yourselves.
Oh,
you have some tools?
Wait till it rains.
Well, that's what we normally do before we say, oh, my God, we've got to get this fixed.
See you, Kim.
Okay.
Good luck. Enjoy your baby.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is now?
Time to introduce our new spring fragrance, Eau de Mécanique.
No, it's time to play Stump the Chumps! D- This is the part of the show where we hunt down a caller from a previous show to see whether or not his case against us has any merit.
So who's our lucky player this week?
I don't know, but the notes here say it's John from Burlington, Massachusetts. You remember John? No.
Of course.
You do not.
No, not really.
I'll refresh both our memories by reading from the little piece of paper. John called with an ethical relational dilemma. He had just met this classy woman and was taking her on a second date.
Oh, I remember this guy.
He wanted to know if he should clean his disgusting Pontiac Grand Prix to impress her. It would be a false impression, of course. Or if he should establish an honest basis for the relationship, just the way it is, let us see right off the bat that he was a total slob who drove around in a Big Ben. And we drilled him with a rapid-fire line of questions, as I recall.
How old are you, John?
38.
How's the hair doing? You got hair?
I got good hair.
How's the physique?
Medium, you know, I'm a 38-year-old guy.
Average, your average guy. How did you?
Would you describe yourself as cuddly?
a little bit less than cuddly, but a little bit more than svelte.
You have not been married?
No.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes.
Lie.
And lie. I mean, you have to get your foot in the door. There's plenty of time for them to hate you later, is the way I look at it. Anyway, we told him, do whatever it takes to deny his true nature until she was already in love and it was too late.
Can she sue us for this? John, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here in Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or by any of the restraining orders she's taken out on you.
No, it's fine.
Okay, good. Now, first of all, did you clean the car before you went on the second date, and did she fall for it?
Well, I had plans to clean the car and before the second date, but I inadvertently met her, and she saw the car the way it was.
Oh!
And actually had to get into the passenger seat while I was frantically throwing things like bodies and cups and things into the back seat.
Yeah. And did she ever speak to you again?
I did get at this point it would be a third date. I cleaned up the car. I changed the wardrobe, and that went better.
Yeah, not wearing the plaid pants probably helped. Well, I mean, I would say we're only half right.
I don't think we're right on this one.
No, the fact that she saw the car.
She saw the car in the mess. She saw you throwing stuff in the back seat, and she still went out for the second date.
Yeah.
But I did take your advice.
In that, you did what?
I did clean up the car, and from now on, I'm trying to put on a false impression. And I still have not been in her white Lexus, though. I think she wants to put a sheet down or something before I get in.
Yeah, she's waiting to have you fumigated. Well, good luck, and I hope it works out. And more important, be yourself. I mean, we told you to lie, and we meant that.
But, we did mean it, yeah.
But now that you've gotten your foot in the door, so to speak, I think you need to become the real you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you're a slob, you're a slob forever. I mean, it's not as though you can fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to go there.
Oh, Tommy, go for it. We depend on you for these insights.
I need insight.
My wife claims that she knew from the beginning that I was a complete loser. She knew all the things that were wrong.
Really?
And
might have had something to do with all the phone calls from her friends.
And I guess I wasn't attempting to lie, despite the fact that if I knew that it would get me a second date, I would have lied if I had known how to lie.
Right, right.
I just was too stupid to even know, because I didn't have the benefit of being able to call up two very erudite gentlemen on the radio to get their advice.
Right.
Dashing and debonair ladies' men. Right.
With more divorces between them.
Well, John, congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And if you need any more advice, don't call us.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
And if you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, then email us your suggestion from cartalk.com. Or, of course, you can call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Deborah Bunkley from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Deborah.
Yes.
Yeah, with an A-H.
Yes.
Yes, that
See,
is.
There aren't many people who spell it that way.
Well, it's named after a Hebrew judge.
What, Deborah?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was Ann Arbor.
No.
So what's on your mind, Deborah?
I have a 1982 Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
Wow, an oldie.
Yes, and I got it a good deal on it, and it's paid for. And I just put a clutch on it and an exhaust system on it, but every time I drive down the road, it doesn't matter if I'm doing 25 miles an hour or 75 on the highway, it starts shaking.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's been doing this ever since you had the clutch done?
Yes.
Well, you may be a victim of FOL.
Yeah.
Which is fell off lift.
Oh.
Yeah. My brother has been the perpetrator of this himself. How do you explain when the customer shows up at 5 o'clock and says,
you don't let them show up. You call them.
Is my car ready? You, during the day, have made everyone's allowed a little mistake here and there during the day. My brother made the little mistake of dropping a car off the lift. The car goes up, and it comes down the hard way.
It went down a lot faster than it went up. But it was only one.
It was only one.
And you know what happened afterwards? I got giddy. I began to laugh uncontrollably at my good fortune for not having been under the car.
Oh, yeah.
When it decided. And that was the car that decided it.
Oh, the car. You had nothing to do with it.
Oh, I had everything to do with it. But the car decided to slide off one of those pads, push the arm out, tilt to the right front.
All in slow motion.
All in slow motion for the first 90% of it.
And then,
in a blink of an eye, it came crashing down on its side.
Ooh!
And I didn't wait for the customer to come in.
No.
I called him.
You called
him. I said, you're never going to believe
this. You
said
I got a little bad news.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, in any event.
I'm gonna let you in on a little trade secret.
No, she didn't have any FOL.
No, I don't think. I don't think so. I was just making fun.
He was making that up.
Not the part about my dropping a car off the lift. I really did do that.
Oh.
And I wanted to see how long it took. But anyway, if you go back to them and ask them to check it, I mean, it's unlikely they did anything wrong when they did the clutch, although they could have left the drive shaft loose.
Oh.
Or they could have, it's possible they could have dropped some of the needles out of it because they have to take the drive shaft out to do the clutch. So they could have left the drive shaft loose. They could have damaged the drive shaft somehow. And that would explain why the vibration is there all the time. Is the vibration in the steering wheel or you feel the whole car shaking?
The whole car shaking.
Yeah. That's classic drive shaft shimmy.
It's the drive shaft.
Oh.
And they may have done something wrong to it, or they may have forgotten to tighten the U-joints up, or whatever. Who knows what they did.
Yeah.
But I would go back soon.
Okay.
But if this is what, how long ago did you have the clutch done?
Like a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago.
Is it getting worse, the shimmying?
Yes.
It's getting worse. In which case, I would be really, really careful about driving it.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's possible for the drive shaft to fall out as you're driving. That could be
mm-hmm.
catastrophic.
Oh.
Because, I mean, if the drive shaft falls out, I'll just give you the worst case scenario.
You ever watch the Olympics?
Yes.
You ever watch the pole vault?
Yes.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
The drive shaft runs in this car from the front to the back.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's connected at each end. Worst case scenario, it disconnects from the front end. So now you're traveling at 70 miles an hour, and you got this pole that digs itself into the ground.
Oh, my God.
The car flips up over the drive shaft, spins around 7 or 8 times, does a Mitzi Gaynor, and you're inside and you're gonzo.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so you sure don't want to drive very fast while you have it. And it might still, even at 15 miles an hour, fall out.
But if it does happen, let us know if the East German judge gave you a good
gave you good ratings.
They don't have an East German judge anymore. They always used to be tough, those East German judges.
Yeah.
Would I be alive to talk to him?
No, probably not.
You probably wouldn't.
Okay.
Good luck,
Thanks
Deborah.
For scaring me to death.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
well,
quite.
That's what we're here for.
Oh, okay.
Drive slowly.
You.
Everyone at NPR has the same feeling.
See you later.
All right, bye.
Okay. Okay, look, I think it's time for us to take a little break because we've been working hard.
Good. I have to go check out my office. I hired a cleaning crew to give it a once-over, you know, a little spring cleaning.
Good idea. They're going to do the rug?
Oh, yeah. They're going to torch everything.
Good. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Well, the white lines are rolling and Illinois is tolling. I'm logging in some miles. The code blue's squawking and the Garmin's talking to me every little while. I head down and around the old shack town. Wisconsin's just behind. I'm hauling a load to Ohio and I ain't wasting time. But I'm surprised to find that Dixie Highway sign, 'cause Dixie's such a long way down the line.
And even though jurors everywhere beg to be sequestered whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Planet Money tip number 17. A great analogy doesn't have to make sense.
Busier than a one-legged bobcat covering up his own crap on a frozen pond.
Did you just make that up?
Well, yeah.
Planet Money, a poetic podcast about the economy.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Is it like from a five-year-old email?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You are kidnapped.
I like it already.
And unceremoniously dumped on a deserted island in the Pacific, in a previously deserted island. You are now. And you have yet to meet up with Mr. and Mrs. Howell and Professor and Marianne. But this island basically is 10 miles long and about 100 yards wide. And it's completely covered with grass and palm trees. Mm. And your captors have been nice enough to give you a few things to assist you in surviving. They've given you a supply of water.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Life-size poster of Ginger Grant. They've given you a flashlight and a box of matches and a blankie.
Oh, nice.
You got it?
Yeah. So, no cable.
So the no cable TV. So the first day you walk around the island and you notice that you've got no chance of escape because the island is a sheer drop-off all around, 500 feet.
Oh, man.
Onto sharp rocks into shark-infested waters. So there is no escape from this island, and you go to sleep that first night under your blankie, and you're awakened the next morning by the sound of thunder and the bright flash of lightning.
Uh-oh, I'm not going to like this.
I don't think so. And you realize that lightning has struck the far end of the island. Okay, you're approximately in the middle, let's say. So 5 miles away from you, lightning has struck and has set the grass and palm trees on fire.
Oh, my God. What's the second thing you
and
say?
What, and drat. And as luck would have it, there's a breeze blowing from the fire toward you.
Oh,
so it's
man.
Pushing the flame in your direction.
Got it.
And you can imagine that everything on the island is going to be toasted.
Including your butt.
You.
Yeah.
Unless you think quick.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, how do you save your sorry butt until your wife can pay off the ransom?
Fat chance.
So you got it.
Why bother?
You got a skinny island. It's 100 yards wide.
Yeah.
It's 10 miles long.
Yeah.
So the fire starts at one end of the island. And
it's coming towards you fast.
It's coming towards you. Let's say it's coming at the rate. Let's say the wind is blowing it at 2 miles an hour.
Sure.
Don't forget what you have at your disposal. The space blanket.
The life-size picture of Ginger.
A box of matches.
Yeah.
A flashlight. Did I say a flashlight?
You said a flashlight.
And water.
And water.
Water.
About
and you're surrounded by water.
Is it like 1,000 gallons of water by any chance?
No, you have a canteen.
Oh.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill or a candied yam and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answers from cartalk.com if you'd like to call us. Or even if you would like not to call us, the number remains 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, you have Bear in Worcester, Vermont.
Who? What?
Bear.
Bear?
Yeah, like the animal, you know, B-E-A-R.
Yeah, we talked to
a bear once. Did you?
Yeah.
Hey, great.
Your parents called you Bear?
Yeah.
That's because when they first saw you, that's how you were, man. Bear.
Well, not only that, but when I was younger, if I got angry, they called me Grizz, and the women would call me Teddy, but that's another story.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do.
And what, pray tell, are their names?
Sabra, Shane, and Shannon.
Sabra.
Yeah.
Like S-A-B-R-A?
S-A-B-R-A.
And Shane?
Shane, S-H-A-N-E.
And Shannon.
And Shannon.
And these are all brothers.
No.
Okay.
No kidding. And where are you from?
Worcester, Vermont. It's about 8 miles north of Mount Pelier.
Really?
Really.
Okay, man. Okay. What's up?
My last prosperous year was 1988. I bought a Grand Prix, brand new.
Yeah.
With a 2.8 engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 206,000 miles on it. And I love the vehicle.
No kidding.
And about 3 years ago, I was one of those people that you heard about went across the country, you got downsized. So money's a little bit tight. And I put not a lot of money into this car. It's been very good to me. But I went in to have a tune-up for the six plugs.
Uh-huh.
And the guy says, gee, I got bad news for you, Bear. He says, they were platinum plugs that were supposed to go for 100,000 miles or something.
Yeah, now they're going to have to go for 200,000 now, right?
Yeah. He says the plugs are frozen into the block because you have an aluminum block.
Yeah.
And he says if I take those out, because he tried a torque wrench to take the plug out, and he's afraid that he's going to take the thread of the block with the plug.
Well, if he did that, that would be okay.
Really?
Well, because you can then rethread the cylinder head and put an insert in and put a plug in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But what's more likely to happen is that he shears off the plug and leaves a piece of it. What the worst case scenario is, and I've had this happen.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just think what would happen if you were doing it, Bear.
Yeah.
You'd put the wrench on it,
right,
and it wouldn't work, so you'd go for the half-inch drive.
I hear you.
Right, then
and
you
that
a piece
wouldn't
of
work,
pipe
so you got a piece of pipe, and you'd stick it on the end of the half-inch drive ratchet.
Right, and then you'd fell a tree to fall on the thing, so you'd get even more leverage.
Right.
And once you've accomplished that, you'd succeed in shearing off the plug.
Okay.
Flush with the cylinder head.
So that the threads are still inside.
And worse than that, the center electrode falls into the cylinder.
Nice try.
And I know.
I called you guys for help, you know.
Because I've done it.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's done this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Everyone's done
this. Yeah, and I've mentioned this before in the show. This is one of the disadvantages of all these car companies that say you can go 100,000 miles with the same plugs in there. What they should say is you're going to go the life of
forever
the car with
right
those plugs in there because you ain't ever going to get them out.
Right.
Because whether you have an aluminum cylinder head or cast iron or whatever, they just become one with the
and
cylinder
there's
head.
No way, like you can't heat the plug or anything else.
What heats them up more than running the engine?
Yeah.
We have tried with success repeated applications of penetrating oil.
Okay.
And you spray the stuff on, and you do it like every day for weeks and weeks, and just a little bit.
And every couple of weeks, you throw the wrench on there, and you see if anything new is happening.
I follow you.
And when that doesn't work,
right,
you leave the plugs in there forever. I mean, after all, they're platinum plugs; they may last the life of the car.
Okay.
But I would just if they don't come out by that method.
Right.
I wouldn't run the risk of breaking any of them off in the cylinder head because if they can't get at it to drill them out and put an insert in there, it's going to be a nightmare.
That's right.
And the three plugs on the backside.
Right.
If they're the ones in question, I wouldn't mess with them at all.
Okay.
Just keep driving it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in good hands, Bear.
Yeah. It isn't worth breaking them off.
No, I didn't think so. But like I said, I the first thing I couldn't understand is I don't mind spending the extra money to buy the plugs. And then I'm saying every car that they advertise today, they advertise, you go 100,000 miles without changing your plugs.
They might as well say a million.
I hear you.
If you have a car like this that has these long life plugs, you should take them out every year.
Right.
Take them out and exercise them. Break those bonds.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. All you got to do is loosen them up and tighten them up again, and you're done.
Oh, no, I agree, but I'll lay you money that people buying the new cars today don't do that.
Oh, of course not.
Of course not. People who buy new cars today don't even open the hood. They have a way of checking the oil without even opening the hood.
Yeah.
Through the glove box. Good luck, Bear.
Good luck, man.
Thank you much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
1-888.
We don't get a lot of calls from Vermont.
Or from bears.
Or from bears.
We've had a few snakes call, but not too many bears. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joanna from Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Joanna.
Joanna.
Yes.
What are we doing for you today?
Oh, I need major help.
Okay, what's up?
I have a 16-year-old son who's in the market for a car.
Oh, man.
But it's not just any car. He wants an ice cream truck.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
He must have seen that Cheech and Chong movie.
Exactly. You got it.
He doesn't want a milk truck so he can drive standing up?
We've talked about this. I've suggested those things. But yeah. It's an ice cream truck he wants. So. Oh,
really?
We went to look at one.
You actually went to
Where the heck did you find it?
He found it over the internet, and it actually was in Texas.
It was.
Of course.
How far did you have to drive to look at it?
About an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, 300 miles.
In pouring rain.
Yeah.
But it's a, now the difficult part. Hmm. It's a 1969 GMC ice cream truck.
Yeah.
That's old.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't any new
ice
cream trucks.
Parts that you can't buy for this, you can make out of clay.
Kind of what it looked like.
Or coat hangers.
You're describing it exactly.
Maybe you asked this question and you didn't get a satisfactory answer.
Why?
Why?
He said it would be cool. And, you know, I got to count my blessings. It's, you know, he doesn't want.
He doesn't want a Viper. He doesn't want a Z3.
Exactly.
One of those stupid cars. He wants an ice cream truck, and I think this is a wonderful thing. This shows that you have done something right raising this kid.
Or real wacky.
Well, both. But anyway, so I went to see this thing, and, you know, neither one of us are real mechanics.
Yeah.
And I drove this thing, and first of all, if there'd been any people on the street, I would have run over them because there was minimal visibility, but I suspect that could be fixed. But it's also, there's a lot of rust, and it's automatic, but doesn't have power steering, which
was a
challenge for me.
Yeah.
Not that I'll be driving it, but if I lose my
car. He will when he borrows your car.
It'll be something to fall back on.
Yeah.
And like when he parked it, things fell off.
Well, probably they were unnecessary. So you would actually consider driving this thing as a backup vehicle if you had to?
Oh, sure I would.
Oh, I want to meet you. Well, I think you should go for this thing. Before you plunk down the $75 they want for it, you should try to get it someplace to see if it's sound of body.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing applies to ice cream trucks as applies to any used car that you buy. You can't trust you or your son or your neighbors or anybody else to evaluate the car. You got to take it to someone who can really check it all out.
I'm worried that it would get there, but okay.
Well, I mean, and the trouble is that the thing is an hour away, so that's going to be difficult to do. But you really have to have someone check out everything. I mean, first they got to check out the frame to make sure it's not rusted away. Because if it's cosmetic rust, you can fix that or forget about it.
And it may need kingpins. It may need brakes. And at the same time that you have it checked, you need to find out what the availability of parts is, too.
Yeah.
But if you're satisfied that the thing is sound or can be made sound for not much money.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, well, of course
he
thinks.
He doesn't know. He's dreaming.
Exactly. He's in love. He doesn't know. He's nuts. But if someone who doesn't have a stake in this can give you an opinion about it, and that opinion is that it could be actually made into a viable motor vehicle,
right?
Then you should do it. And you can because it has that big expanse of sheet metal on the side, you can have someone put windows in so as to improve the visibility. You could just carve a big hole in the side.
Yeah, I mean since he's not going to use it as an ice cream truck, we presume.
Yes.
And the ice cream truck part of it probably doesn't work anyway.
Well, actually, it does.
It does.
Which was a plus to him. But it even has the freezer.
It does.
And it works.
And it works.
But, and the music plays and the light goes around.
Oh!
But the problem is, There's no air conditioning.
Oh, of course not.
No, when you get too hot, you jump in with the ice creams.
That's exactly what he said.
What are they asking for this thing?
Well, they were asking $1,800.
I'll take it. I love it.
I know.
I can understand how we could fall in love. And you just don't want to fall in love with something that's going to be headaches for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Yes, over four of his wives. Well, you have our wholehearted support in this endeavor.
Yeah.
We're not going to try to talk you out of it because we think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, is your son, forget the question. I was going to say, is he sane? But he's 16 years old, so that's a ridiculous question. Of course he's not. Is he in any way responsible? Nah, that's a ridiculous question, too.
Is he in the band? Does he play in the band at school?
Not the band, but...
He's into music.
He's into music, yes.
He is.
Is he in the drama club?
No.
He should be.
No
but
kidding.
When you do buy the thing, send us a picture of you behind the wheel.
We'll send you pictures.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
It's like wanting a pony.
Well,
I always wanted a pony.
I got a pony.
You did?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that? I got a pony.
Well, they told me I couldn't have a pony.
As soon as you went off to college, you got me a pony. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. They were waiting for you to leave, man. Oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Shemp was his name. Well, it's happened again. You've misspent another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Siam roast lamb, boiled ham, pickled spam, candied yam, minced clam, battered ram, quince jam and candy gram grand slam is John Bugsy Lawler, who is supposed to be in the building today.
No,
he's here. Oh my god. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikov and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Buddy Rich wannabes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like Tommy.
And don't forget, don't drive like Rainy.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1913, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our fashion backwards clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, are you looking for a good mechanic? Well, you could go down to the marina and see who has the biggest boat, or you can check out reviews of mechanics that other Car Talk listeners use and like at our mechanics files. You can search by zip code, specialty, or number of bunks in the guy's cabin cruiser. Check out the mechanics files anytime over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Jenny Craig breaks the glass and removes her emergency box of Twinkies whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.